Podcasting 2.0 for September 24th, 2021, episode 55, Lightning Strikes. I could almost know I was going to do something like that. Hello, everybody. It's Friday time once again for the meeting of the Board of Directors of Podcasting 2.0. That is you, that's you, that's you, and you. You're all welcome into the boardroom. Bringing you all the latest on what's happening at podcastindex.org, everything Podcasting 2.0, and, of course, all the gossip from podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry in the heart of Hill Country, Texas, and in Alabama. Don't call him a bro. My friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Now, you're the expert. You're the expert in show openings, and I don't want to criticize.
Okay, what did I do wrong? Did I get the date wrong? What did I do?
No, I think you missed the low-hanging fruit.
I did?
Yeah. It's the opening could have been, we're all jacked up.
Oh! Ooh,
Jack Mollers.
Wow, damn.
Jack Dorsey.
We can stop and start all over again?
No.
That would be cheating. That would be cheating. First of all, I need to say apologies, everybody. We're late with the show today. And see, there they are. See, they're pissed off. They've been waiting outside, Dave. Let me open up the door for a second. No, there they are. Come on in, guys. All right, sit down over there. Coffee's warm.
The master of the mix board.
Oh, yeah. 40 years of experience.
Like a violin, baby.
Yeah, so it was about 30 minutes before we typically do the show. And I knew that my stepdaughter in New York City, she lives in Brooklyn, that she wasn't feeling well. She'd stayed home from work yesterday, tried to get an appointment at a clinic, couldn't get one at all yesterday, couldn't get in until this morning, 11 o'clock. And she felt really bad. And so, yeah, she's COVID. Of course, she is fully vaccinated, which makes nothing but sense. And and you have to understand that my stepdaughter is... It fits in Brooklyn, complete liberal all the way. It's, you know, it's, we've had tension in the family, but love each other all very, very much. We get along, but we have massive differences of opinion. Yeah, no,
we should all love our we should all love our liberals in our lives.
Of course, of course.
Treat them well.
So
love them.
You know, so now Tina had already kind of prepped her yesterday saying, you know, if you're positive. So I've got the just sent to me, I might add, by a No Agenda producer, the official Indian Zilverdo pack, which is a blister pack. It's for 14 days, and the first five include zinc, some doxycycline, I guess, or some kind of steroid, and ivermectin.
Doxycycline.
Doxycycline, thank you. Ivermectin and... and you know, it's a little blister pack. So it's on the first day, you take these, second day, take these. You don't take every single one every day. So it's completely laid out for you. So I had to FedEx that overnight. I had to get it to her ASAP because, you know, you can't, do you think you can get ivermectin or anything that'll help in New York City? Well, I got news. No.
Here in Alabama, like, so this, around the office, we have some healthcare clients and, around the office, one of our clients put out this, he's a well-respected doctor, physician. He put out this paper, and it's basically just a paper for anybody. I mean, it's not like a you know, medical thing.
Right.
It's basically, it's written for Joe Blow. And it's a
protocol.
Like, protocol. Yeah, it's a protocol. And he's saying, here's what we've seen over the last, I don't know, year, and here's what we used to do, and here's what we're doing now, and all this kind of stuff. So we put this out a few weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. And then it says on there, it's like, well, we tried these things and we've just really didn't have much success. And we tried this other stuff. And so at the end of it, he boils it all down to say, the only thing that is 100, like not 100% successful, but 100%
effective.
Always helps.
Yeah.
Always helps is the monoclonal antibodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what Joe Rogan told me too.
Yeah, and the monoclonal antibodies seem to be like the magic juice.
Like immediate done. Like it kills them immediately.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and so, and of course, so then 2 weeks later.
Yeah, they limited the monoclonal antibodies. They limited that to Alabama, Texas too.
Yeah.
Like, no, yeah. die, you stupid Hicks.
Exactly.
Well, you can imagine that for me to be sending her the Tucker Carlson approved horse dewormer paste.
Did you send Ritz crackers with it?
Some water crackers upscale. Okay. Nice. So it's a very interesting way of coming together on a couple of things. She had texted me a few weeks ago. She said, why is everyone so messed up about the vaccine? Let everyone do it, whatever they want to do. Miss, like, if you don't vax, I don't want to talk to you. Okay. And I actually figured out what's changing some of her views slowly. Hmm. And it's a podcast.
Which one?
It's the Red Scare. You ever heard of this podcast, Red Scare?
No, it sounds like a misinformation bonanza.
It's two millennial girls, women. I think they're late 20s, maybe early 30s. And honestly, the way they talk, kind of, it's not at all like the presentation style, but a lot of their topics are very no agenda-ish.
Really?
In an odd way. Yeah, this you should check it out. They're interesting to listen to.
The Red Scare.
Red Scare.
I wonder if anybody's alerted the Brookings Institute to this part.
They should. I think they're very successful. They do Patreon. I think they do 20 grand a month or so.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
How do we get on that train?
Yeah, I want to be interviewed by the Red Scares. That's what I need.
Yeah, okay. We're changing the protocol in this podcast. It's just Red Scare all the time.
Before we start with any rundowns, I wanted to thank Stephen B. again, because we didn't really get to talk about it in the last show since we had to pre-tape that. You were on a trip with your wife, your anniversary. How was it, by the way? How was Chicago? Yeah. Everything good?
It was great. You want to give my Chicago stories?
Trip report or something? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I got a trip report.
Yeah, trip report. I mean, trip report. Dave's trip report.
It is not worthy of a jingle at all. We were there for, let's see, we were there for Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. It's an anniversary trip. So we went originally for Riot Fest. Do you know this festival, this music festival?
Who was performing at Riot Fest?
Well, evidently it's a thing that goes on every year, and I didn't know about it. But back when we bought tickets was during the summer, maybe June, July, I forgot. And the reason we bought tickets is because Melissa's a big fan of Faith No More. And there are some
I love Faith No More. They're great.
Yeah. Okay. So there are some other bands that were playing as well that we were like, oh, yeah, cool. So there was Living Color.
Ugh. With Corey Glover, that, even though he went all country. Oh, cool.
It looked like the original lineup. Hmm. So Faith No More, Living Color, Smashing Pumpkins. We were like, eh, whatever. The Nine Inch Nails.
Damn.
Yeah, it was a good lineup. And so there was quite a few. The Pixies. So it was a good lineup, and so we're definitely want to see. Well, so from the time we bought the tickets until the time we left to go to Chicago,
everyone had canceled.
All of them dropped out. And so the Pixies dropped out first, then Nine Inch Nails, then so then finally, but Melissa's like, okay, Faith No More, that's still the one I want. Like 3 days before we went, Faith No More dropped out for quote unquote mental health reasons.
Oh, okay.
So
that sucks. Yeah. So who was anyone performing? Was it just a bunch of concession stands?
Well, they replaced.
Hey, who's got a guitar? Plug in.
We looked at the lineup Thursday night and we were like, okay, there is
one band, maybe
one band that I care about, kind of. You know, and it's like Living Color. And I'm like, it's more of a novelty nostalgia play there. And then,
There's two songs and the rest all sounds like them.
Exactly. And then, on Saturday, literally, no, I did not recognize a single band on Saturday's lineup. So we were like,
sorry.
Let's not even go to this concert. We're in Chicago and we've never been to Chicago, neither one of us.
So you went
Let's
to the museum.
Go enjoy Chicago.
And you went to the museum. Nice.
Stayed at the museum all day on Friday, had a dinner. So we met, you know, when we got married, we met in Moscow, Russia. So
I didn't know you were an agent.
Why do you think I'm doing this show with you? I finally wormed my way in.
Well, Gene is going to be pissed. Horning in on his turf.
The FSB doesn't always communicate well with his agents.
No, Center did not communicate at all. Okay. So you met in Moscow, yeah.
Yep. And so we had, for Friday night, we had dinner at a Russian tea room. It was one of the best meals I've ever had in my life.
Was there a lot of pickled stuff and unidentifiable meats?
No, it was, I had duck.
Oh, and I've had the Russian duck.
Have you?
Yeah.
It was like these duck wings or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was melt in your mouth. Delicious.
Nice.
We had a Georgian white wine. Just top.
You brought that from you in a jug, right? You hillbilly.
Yeah, the other Georgia.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Georgia where they hate crypto.
Yeah, that one. So it sounds like you guys had a good time.
Yeah, we did.
Renewed your love and everything's good for another 20 years. And they never had a fight.
Not one.
I know, it's great.
We almost, we narrowly avoided getting killed Saturday night by gunfire outside the hotel.
In Chicago, it is an exciting place to be.
Dude, 3 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
I'm having trouble sleeping because I know this is Saturday night because I know we got to fly out early the next morning at like, we got to be at the airport at like 4:30.
Oh, brother.
And so I'm having trouble sleeping. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning and somebody just unloads both barrels. Bam, 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 bam. I mean, like somebody went nuts. Well, we look in the paper the next morning or on the news. There was like a gang shootout. A few blocks away, yeah, somebody just drive by the house and just unloaded, like, you know, on this house. So.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was great. And Chicago's a wonderful place.
Wow. Yeah. All right, so back to CurioCaster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because this is what happens with me. This is what happens with me, and I keep forgetting to mention these things. So we published the second episode with the CurioCaster RSS Jenny, as I like to call her, the Jenny. Almost flawless. We noticed one small thing where the link tag was not changing in previous episodes. Importing is hard. It's all the problems are in the import side. Once that works, you know, people who want to start a feed with this, everything's groovy. So we fixed that, went back, republished a couple things. This is a phenomenal tool. It's especially if you're testing stuff and you just want to, you know, use your own feed, whip up a test feed with some different options. All the value block stuff is in there. You can templatize it. So whatever is in the channel values, you can copy and write over to the episode. So you have a starting point if you're changing that at the episode level. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. It's fast. It's very intuitive once you get your head around it. Because, you know, it's nothing you've ever seen before. And it's just, I think it's ready for a hosting company to step up and let's connect this to an API.
Okay, so I got questions.
Yeah, I got answers. We're Radio Shack, baby.
Are you using it for No Agenda?
No Agenda. I've used it for No Agenda 3 times now. I've used it for the most recent MoFax. And oh, okay. Yeah, no, I went balls to the wall. You went away, and that Sunday I think was the first one I published for No Agenda. And you know how scary that can be because when you screw something up with a million subscribers or so,
I knew you were going to do this. I knew when I left that you were going to do this.
Were you ready at any point to actually receive a call from me going like, "Oh fuck, man, I need some help with something."
Not at the Russian tea room. You were on your own at that point. But any other time, I would have done it. Melissa would have been pissed, but I would have done it.
I would not have done that.
No, I knew you were going to pull the trigger on No Agenda Sunday.
I had to. So, okay, questions?
Yes, and question number two. Are you putting episode level splits in?
Yes, I am. This show
Which ones have them?
Okay, hold on. Right now, only podcasting 2.0 has the episode level splits. And what I did is I went back and hold on. I'm just going to take a look here in the fire up the Jenny. It needs a sound effect. It's like a big generator. Let's see. Which is the one we had? There's the doggy. Which one do we have? Oaken. Was that 50? Can't remember now.
50. No, that was our anniversary show. That was 52.
Okay, so 50.
I think.
52? Yeah. Okay, yes, 52. So I put Oaken in the person tag, and then in the... That's in the value. I've got four people in the episode level. And it's, what's cool about the value block editor is it has a little cheat meter up top. So it's a total split percentage, 100%, total fee percentage, 5%. And so if I put right now, podcast index has 90%. If I do that 95, then the split percentage goes red. It says 105. I think it spits in your eye if you don't change it eventually.
It calls you ugly words.
Yes. So Dreb's in there for the 5. I put CurioCaster in 5, not on the fee side. He deserves it. We didn't have a meeting. I think we talked about it maybe.
Oh, I see it here. Yeah, it's on the... it's on the main page now, like in the channel.
Yeah, no, I changed it in the channel now too. Yeah, come on, man, this thing is beautiful. Hey, with sats, okay. Got to spray some sats all over the place.
Okay, so we have CurioCaster supports item level value. Blocks.
That's the only one, as far as I know.
Breeze is working on it, I think. I'm almost 100%.
Roy actually sent me a note. Okay. Friday or Saturday. He's like, "Is Dave okay?" As far as I know, why? Well, I sent him an email. He hasn't answered. Usually, he's so fast to answer. I said, "Simmer down, Donna Summer. The man has a life."
Yeah. Yeah. He sent me a note this morning. He's like, "Hey, man, I'm not trying to bug you. Listen, it's fine. It's fine. I closed Telegram."
Yeah.
And it's just been like, I don't think about looking at Telegram. It's been,
I really hate Telegram. It's really my least favorite thing. I don't like how it works. I don't like it. I don't like the big long stream of stuff. And I get anxious. I see, 100 messages. I'm out of the loop.
Yeah, because I'm subscribed to Balance of Satoshi's channel.
Oh, that thing is on fire.
3,500 unread messages. Yes. Oh, my God.
On fire.
OCD.
And you got to go turn off notifications for everything you add, because it bleep, bloop, your phone just drains. It's horrible.
Oh, I know. I hate it so much.
Horrible experience.
But he said I helped with the issue that he was having, and then he mentioned that they're working on the splits.
Oh, cool. Good.
Yeah. So they're the episode level splits. Once they go into Breeze, then that's a big one, because that's where a lot of the Bitcoin people listen. Yep. And those are the shows that are probably the most likely to have them to begin with.
Right. But it seems like everybody should be able to implement pretty quickly.
I mean, I would think, everybody's code's a little different, but it doesn't seem like a hard one. Cause you just override. It's a pure override. So when you do an episode level split, you're putting the whole thing in there, right?
Right. So if I do an episode level, then, well, it depends. So the previous episode, we didn't have a special guest. So that's just our, or did we? No, we did have a guest.
Yeah, we had a Hass McCook, but he didn't have a node.
He doesn't have node, right. So I just left it at the channel level. And the way you do it is, if you have a new episode and you need to do a split, or you need to do custom persons, instead of re-entering my name again and your name and our data, I just do click, poop, synchronize from the channel, and it brings it right over at the item level. So it does that for person, does it for value. And you also have a channel image sync button.
It hoists it up to the top for the channel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at...
It's cool as shit, man.
No, I'm looking at the feed.
This is what I always dreamed of, and it works, and I'm sure no one else will want to use it as usual.
No, I bet you some people will use it.
Whenever I really love, like Freedom Controller 2.
Oh, you're horning me out of my turf here. Yeah. Oh, I see.
Wow, Stephen B. he's going to give you a run for the money on speed, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's What? I'm grumpy.
Why?
Now.
Why are you grumpy? I didn't mean to make you grumpy.
No, he's got better stuff than I do.
No,
I'm jealous.
No, you and I, we decided in our relationship.
If we could see other people.
That we could see other people.
We have an open marriage.
And you know, it's like I had already not been using your RSS generator for, you know, once or twice. And, you know, now it's like now I'm with her.
Okay.
What can I say?
You start off swinging and then fall in love and I never see you again.
Never again. But we share custody of Comic Strip Blogger, so that's the good news.
No, that's the best.
I don't know even where that came from.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
All right. But anyway, I think this thing is ready to talk to an API at a hosting company.
I do too. I've got one question, though. I want to use this if Stephen B. is willing. Maybe we get him back on the show. I think this is the perfect way to test. The live item, right?
Okay.
The live tag.
Oh yeah, of course, absolutely.
So he can put us a he can like put a live beta.
But you're hijacking the next step. I thought we were going to take. Now you want to route around it and go live. We'll do it live.
What's the next step?
Well, the next step I was thinking get a hosting company to integrate the API so you upload the RSS file and the MP3 file straight to your existing hosting account.
No, that's too hard because
what?
That slows down the thing I want, which is live.
Oh.
That makes me have to wait. That makes me have to wait for stuff.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Okay. We'll do it live then. We'll do live. All right, we'll do live.
I want. Okay, so
I know you want it bad. You want it bad. You want it bad.
I
feel we can only do live under one condition, because otherwise we won't do it right.
What?
We have to have the boostograms working when we use the live stuff.
That's what you
took the words right out of your mouth.
Yes.
Must have been while I was kissing you. A very lovely show today, Dave.
It is. It's in the air. So my thought was that I will make a proof of concept page, and it will be something akin to trollroom.io, something mm-hmm. like this,
mm-hmm.
and it will have the live. It'll be the live stream. I want to mock up a proof of concept super chat.
Okay.
And initially, it'll only show boostergrams.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be on the left side. It would be like the player, like the stream player. Mm-hmm. Very simple, very skeleton. And then on the right side, it would just be boostergram chats. And there would be no limit on it, so that if you boost something without a message or with a message, either one, it doesn't matter. As long as it hits our node, it will come through. And it'll show.
Okay.
And then we do the live thing. We go live, and then at that point the node switches to showing every boost that comes in and the messages nice. Attached to it.
Yeah, I'm all in. And we'll do it on this show. This show we're going to do live. Nice. Are you ready for that, son? You ready to graduate? Yeah, you ready to graduate?
Yeah. I'm ready. I'm ready, Dad. I feel good about this.
Grasshopper, snatch the pebbles from my hand. Then you will know it is time to leave.
Yeah.
Good idea. All right. When are we doing it? Tomorrow?
No.
Steven has to bake in the live tag first.
Yeah, and I have to do a bunch of code.
So that slows everything down. Slows down the dream.
Yep. You're coming back on me. No, I deserve it. But yes, I think that's how we proof of concept this thing.
And I'm good. This is fantastic. It'd be very exciting.
Then the next step would be put the ActivityPub stuff onto it
mm-hmm.
as a proof of concept. I think we need this page, this live page as like a test bed.
Okay.
And to where we can do new, we can just like sort of sandbox these new things that we're trying to do that because all this stuff is meant to be, you know, community. It's meant to be super chattish. Mm-hmm. And so, like, what you expect when you do super chatty things is you expect to go to YouTube. And, you expect to go to YouTube and see, well, you'd see a video in there. We're not going to do video, but you see that, and then you'd see the chats and all this kind of jazz flying around. You expect that experience. So I'm thinking we just make that sandbox, and then we begin to put in these things as we get them working. And then, like, as a way to show everybody and have something to visualize and comment on. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, hey, this was cool, but let's try to do this. If your Activity Pub stream is coming, you know, from this other, these other sources, they should come together in this way and blah, 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 blah. What do you think?
I love it. I mean, that will, in an odd way, create a cross app chat in a very weird way, in mm-hmm. a very jacked kind of, kind of bootstrap way. Yeah, that's fantastic. Let's do it.
But you know, the YouTube super chat thing is kind of like this.
That's what it is. Too. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, specifically, like you're seeing the chats go by that are the normal comments, but then you see the ones that are the paid.
Well, that's most hosts only look at that. They're only looking at the super chat because it's too much going on in the regular in the pleb chat.
Okay. Oh, down where the
but you are. as a viewer, you see it all. Yeah.
So I'm thinking that the Activity Pub or Matrix or whatever we're going to use for, Activity Pub makes the most sense. Whatever we're going to use for the chat or the comment. These are comments. Okay, comments, not chat. Comments. Mm-hmm. Whatever we're going to use for the comments on the page, that's coming. That can be coming from other places, Activity Pub.
Oh, I understand. Sources. Yeah, I understand.
And then the boostergrams. The boosts come in and they're denoted by some special, you know, visual appearance. And so we're sort of merging the two things together.
We clearly need a confetti splooge.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. speaking of confetti splooge, Castomatic, Franco, he put the confetti in.
Oh, good. I don't have iOS anymore, so I'm a little bummed.
Oh, dude, you should see it. He did a really good job. Yeah. You hit it and confetti just like explodes on the page, and then it just sort of lingers.
Oh, slow float. Nice.
Yes. It just nice. Fades away. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Good job.
Exciting.
Bro. Yeah. We're going to have him on the show soon. We got to get Brian of London on first though.
I was all excited about, the breeze boost. And, so, you know, it's how fire up the new version of breeze. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why can't I get to the boostergram? And I just see confetti flying all over the place because I'm holding down the boost button, thinking that that's the same behavior as Podfriend and CurioCaster.
Okay.
Instead, I'm sending, you know, boom, boost, 10, you know, 10 boosts in a row of 1,000 sats.
Yeah, wallet empty.
Like, you know how you do it? Like you hold down the phone on the button on your phone camera too long.
And it's a shutter. The shutter snap.
Yes. I was literally spraying sats like the south side of Chicago.
There we go. Whoever that podcaster was is like, God, I'm really popular today.
Yeah.
my show's taking off.
Yeah. This is like here's Adam using Breeze. That's me. Yeah, it's in there though. That I'm really happy about that. That's very cool. And then of course this dropped I guess yesterday. Mm-hmm. The lightning connecting to, or really more the lightning strike API connecting to Twitter. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I mean, it's iOS only from what I understand. Again, can't participate or mm-hmm. won't participate in that. I'm sure you've tried it.
I've tried it a lot. Yeah. I made it a personal goal to get very familiar with it as fast as possible last night so I could speak to it.
Tell us what's going on. What exactly is it? It seems like it's a little hacky, but it's a step in the right direction.
So I spent today just sort of pondering it and thinking about it because like Chaz over at Lightning Junkies podcast. I was supposed to be on his show last night and it didn't work out. It's timing. Yeah, he got it called away, but I was on the IPFS podcast Wednesday night.
Did you talk firmament first with those guys?
I brought up Crater Earth.
Oh, good.
Yeah. He was like,
you're advanced.
Yeah. I was like, have you heard of Crater Earth? He's like, no. He started laughing.
So we're talking about the announcement that Twitter will be using the Lightning network. I'm just going to paraphrase it for people to send little bits of Bitcoin Satoshis to each other via Twitter. The word tipping is used, which I'd prefer not to use. But okay, so just the background for anyone who has no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, and so I just thought a lot about it today. And Chaz over at Lightning Junkies, he has been posting a lot saying, this is crap. You know, this sucks. And
his voice very well.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like.
I know.
And his argument is basically that this is all custodial.
No, I'm sure it is.
You're saying it's Lightning, but it's all custodial. So, you know, you're not really doing Lightning or whatever. And while I'm sort of understanding of that argument, but so I thought about it a lot today, trying to figure out where do I fall on this? And
well, how about telling us how it fits together first? What exactly, how do you do it? How does it work? And then let's talk about the religion of it.
Okay. So tech first, then religion. So the way it works is it's iOS only. And from the receiver side, what you do is you go in there on your iOS app, Twitter app, and you go to your profile page, and there is a thing that says tips.
Cringe. I'm sorry. Keep going. Tips.
Take a drink of water.
Tips.
And then you hit it, and it takes you to a separate page, and you enable Lightning tipping, and it gives you one option. It gives you one option.
One wallet option, and that's Strike.
This is going to be really hard to not say tip.
It's okay. I'll just cringe silently every time.
So you enable that, and your one option is a Strike wallet. And you put in your Strike username, which is your wallet name, like a Cash App handle, you know. It's your Strike handle. Mm-hmm. So you put that in, and it's like, okay, you're good. Done. I mean, that's literally all there is to it. You put that in, and that's where all your funds are going to land. Whenever somebody sends you Lightning, it's going to land there.
So basically what this does, if I could just boil it down from my understanding.
On the receiver side.
Well, so you have a Strike account, and you have your username. And so once you've enabled this, then something pops up next to your avatar, your profile, that I'm sure says something like, tip me.
No. It's a little dollar bill icon. It shows up on
goodness,
here.
A dollar bill. Okay. Hello, tone deaf anybody?
Dollar bill, let me look. It looks like a dollar.
You sure it's not a B with a line through it? It should have just, okay. Anyway, so, all right.
Well, this is dollar. Important. I'm looking.
They should have a little pig with a coin in his back. Because that's the spin. I'm going to religion already. I'm sorry. Let's stay with the tech.
Okay.
Okay. So it surfaces a button, and then you click it, and then it's like a boostergram maybe where you can customize the amount and the message at that point or not.
Okay. I'm looking at it. It does look like a dollar, and it's up next. It's right up at the top next to your avatar. So if you see somebody that has that icon, you can tap it, and it brings up a screen, and the screen gives you a bunch of options. I'm looking at it right now. You get $1, $2, $3, $5, and the SAT amount is underneath each one of these.
Oh, well, that's something.
Yeah, it says $1, 2,329 SATs, blah, 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 all the way up to $10, and then there's a custom amount. Okay. And then you can just type in whatever you want.
All right.
And so then you hit. And so I'm going to do a dollar here, and I'm hitting next. It lets you put a note on it. Lets you attach a note.
Mm-hmm. Boostagram.
And then you you have two options at the bottom underneath the text box area. You've got open wallet or copy wallet address. And so if you hit open wallet, it just opens up whatever Lightning wallet is registered on your device to be able to handle invoices, LNVC invoices.
Got it.
In my case, that's Breeze. It opens up the Breeze wallet every time. If you hit copy wallet address, it copies the invoice.
Wait a minute. So it doesn't open Strike, it opens Breeze.
For me, it opens Breeze, yes.
But you have to use Strike to sign up.
You have to use Strike. That's why I was talking about there's a real difference between the receiving and the sending.
Receiving is always going to be on your Strike. And sending can be from anything. So I should be able to just find someone. Now, you have it on the podcastindex.org Twitter account?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so let me just see. We're doing it live, people!
But remember, it's iOS only. You're not even going to see the icon unless you're on iOS.
This is discrimination.
Yeah, it is. They hate you.
This is discrimination.
Are you bitter?
Somewhat.
I don't blame you, actually. It is kind of
bitter. I feel like Cridland, I guess. He's always bitching about everything being in the U.S. and iOS only.
Well, okay, so on the receiving side, yes, it's always Strike. On the sending side, it will open up whatever wallet it can find, or you can just copy and paste the invoice into any wallet
to send. Interesting. So let me see. Podcast Index. Yeah. You got no dollar bill, man. I see no dollar bill. Ain't no dollar bill.
Yeah, because you're not on iOS. Like I'm saying.
I got you. You don't have to yell at me because I'm not on iOS.
Okay, wait. This is an interesting... I'm curious about this.
Mm-hmm.
If I copy the invoice out, really anybody should be able to pay this, right?
That's what you'd expect. So you have the invoice for me. Send it to me on the Signal.
On the Signals?
Yeah. And then I can open it up right away.
Adam.
See if I can.
I'm going to paste this.
See if I can tip you.
No, this isn't. This isn't to me. This is to Lee Kuen on. It's a dot for a dollar.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, it's just a standard invoice.
It looks like a standard Lightning invoice. Let me just see what it pops up. Hold on.
And so anybody could pay that, and then it would show. So that's the interesting thing about this. Well, there's a bunch of interesting things about it. Number one is from my side on Strike.
2332 sats. That's what you put in there?
Yeah, it's like a buck.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So if I send, if somebody sends, if I'm looking through my Strike history and seeing the payments that have come in, there's no names or anything attached to it. They're all anonymous. The only way I know, that's from the Strike wallet side. If I flip over to Twitter, I see
the
transactions and who sent them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In my notifications, it says, Gary Arndt sent you $2. Boombox Podcast sent you $5. It shows each person and what they sent. But from the Strike app, it doesn't know.
Yeah.
And which makes sense.
Yeah, because it just comes into, there's no other data being sent. There's no TLVs. Ergo, right, so, less sophisticated as Boostergrams, but okay, I digress.
Oh yeah, no, it can't touch Boostergrams. Boostergrams are way more sophisticated.
Yeah,
these are new noobs,
new on the scene. Well, Jack's young; he's a young man.
He is. So that's interesting to me because that means that everything is going pure Lightning, and from the Twitter and from the receiver side, it makes a lot of sense for them to limit the reception to just Strike. A lot of sense. Because...
Oh, no, there'll be such a headache otherwise. Now it's just one person's headache. And of course, it's a complete centralized solution. I understand why people are disappointed, but...
No, I see. I think it was pure utilitarian.
That's what I'm saying. I think they had to.
Because for one reason, liquidity.
Yep.
Strike has the liquidity. They have the channels with the liquidity to be able to handle this volume of thing. Otherwise, people would be trying to pay other people, and their payments would be failing because this guy only has one 25,000 sat channel to some rando, and it just wouldn't work.
Right. So what we are all expecting to happen, of course, is for eventually that setting in your app to open up so that you can add any Lightning node to it.
Yes.
Then that would be, then as far as I'm concerned, problem solved. Anyone who has an issue, that would be fantastic.
I don't see how they don't do that. I mean,
that's, well, I'm sure there's going to be shit coins in there and all kinds of different stuff all kinds of different solutions, I would presume. I mean, although I don't know.
So the other part that's interesting to me is that,
by the way, there was no marketing or PR for this. It was really very under the radar launch.
I think so too. Yeah,
and understandably so. I mean, Maller's, excuse me, got a slot on on CNBC. He always shows up there, and he's really good. He explains it really well. He does a good job.
Isn't that isn't his dad like a hedge fund guy or something? So he's probably got some connections to the financial press.
I have no idea.
I think his family is connected with some hedge fund stuff, but So that was interesting, and it does look like pure Lightning if you're looking at it from the receiver side. Now, it sucks that it's not global yet, and I don't think the global aspect of it has anything to do with Strike, because on the sending side, it doesn't matter.
Right.
As far as like,
well, but they're just handing off an invoice. That's all. That's all that Twitter's doing. Yeah. It's really nothing special. It's just a widely used invoicing, creation system, kind of a front end, right? Yeah. So, I understand that for it to work, they have to work with partners like that. But definitely open it up for everybody, and consider us plebs over here in Graphene OS land.
Well, the other interesting thing about it to me is that they did not try to do anything special for the sender. They're essentially like what they've done is they've created Strike API integration on the receiver side, and on the sending side, they're just like, here's an invoice.
Doesn't it automatically open up the Strike wallet if you have that installed?
It probably would, but I guess what I'm saying is they're not, they've done no attempt.
Oh, they're not taking you down a path to onboard you to any apps or anything like that?
No, none of that. No, they're not converting from fiat or any, they've done no onboarding of the sender to the Lightning network in a way that, like, you can't do dollars. It's all, they just assume that if you're going to send to this person, that you're just going to have to figure it out on your own.
Well, that sounds a lot like our marketing.
Exactly.
In fact, I have a clip of how our marketing succeeded. This is from the Mere Mortals podcast. And Kyron, is that how we pronounce his name? Kyron? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kyron was talking to James Cridlin. James Cridlin was on a lot of podcasts I listened to this week.
That was a really good interview by
Kyle. Yeah, it was. And so they're standing by, I think, a sludge or sewage river, I could hear, with like seagulls, and it smelled really bad. But then Kyron said this.
Thankfully, you offhandedly mentioned the podcasting 2.0, which I thought was the way you said it at the moment was, I think they just introduced the value for value and Breeze and Sphinx.
Yeah.
So the way you said it made me just think, like, I put my podcast on there and Adam Curry pays me Bitcoin or something like that. Like, that was, I just couldn't get in my head how this whole thing would work. So I thought it was the biggest scammy bullshit that I'd heard.
That's awesome.
And I appreciate however James Cridlin converted him with whatever marketing he gave him. maybe that's the way to go. Like, hey, can I get a Bitcoin from Adam Curry? I'll try this stuff out. I'll try it.
That's the way we should have onboarded everybody. It's just, you just pay them.
Yeah, and I would be one of those guys who shows up in your Twitter timeline. You know, get free Bitcoin. Yeah, airdrop. Yeah.
Airdrop. Yeah. That would have made the technology so much simpler.
Oh, yeah.
You just send an invoice to Adam and he pays everybody.
I'll pay everybody. It's perfect.
Yeah. That's funny.
I thought that was great. Well, yeah. So, okay. That's very interesting that they chose to do that or not to do that, depending on how you look at it.
I was selfishly hoping that they would, like, create this fancy onboarding system to go from fiat to Lightning so that we could then bounce off of that and tell people to go use their Twitter wallet and all this kind of jazz. So I was a little disappointed that didn't happen. But then the more I thought about it, I was like,
well, no, I see that. Well, go ahead. I see
this sort of validates. Yeah. This sort of validates our hesitancy. Like even if Twitter even is hesitant to onboard people, like maybe we're not such schlubs after all.
Well, here's what I like about it. A perfect way to get people to at least have a wallet. So to get, you know, the onboarding part is, you know, go get your Twitter wallet, which we will just call Twitter wallet from now on. Sorry, Jack, but just for purposes of marketing, get your Twitter wallet. It's right there. It'll explain how you do it. Oh, you're on Android? No podcast for you. Once you've got that and you sign up over here, and then every time there's 100,000 Satoshis in your complete custodial podcast index LN Pay 1099 system, then we'll shove it out to your Twitter wallet.
I like it.
How about, so here's the real onboard. So that's for podcasters, but for a podcast listener, just get your Twitter wallet. And come back here and scan this code. Does the scanning work? Yeah, it works on Strike, or you can scan an invoice. Yeah, so instead of Strike, just get your Twitter wallet. Mm-hmm. That's it. Problem solved. Who created it? Jack. Yeah, Jack. Just say Jack. Jack's Twitter wallet. Same guy. One of the Jacks.
Yeah, we're all jacked up.
Yeah. Damn, I really did screw up. I might have to go back and do the intro again, except then, you know, like talk over it. Like do an insert. I'll jack up. You know, just insert that instead of lightning strikes.
But yeah, just dub it in.
Yeah, dub it in.
With a cassette, you know, cassette to cassette.
Cassette to cassette. Well, wow. Yeah. Did you have one of those boom boxes? Yeah, that was the shit, man. Two cassettes. That's right. And that, now, did yours do synchronize unpause?
No, it was not.
I love that. I think I had Akai that did that. Yeah, synchronized.
No, you had to use both hands.
You know how we used to use those things in the heyday of the radio, pirate radio? So we didn't have cart machines and jingle machines. You know, we had do you think anything, is this interesting if I say, I'm just going to tell you. It's technology, okay? This is a technology.
Yeah, it's
technology
all interesting,
talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love radio talk.
So first let me tell you about the turntables. The way we had the turntables is it was, you know, this is before Techniques were even around. So we had Lenco, different kinds of Philips, maybe something that was robust. You'd put a 12 inch on, you didn't want anymore. Then we had a felt mat, but it was oversized. It would stick out by maybe 3/4 inch, kind of hanging over the edge of that. Then we'd mount a relay on the side. And when the relay was powered, it would grasp the mat like a little claw. And so the turntable is turning, albeit a little bit slower from the fiction, but it's already up to speed because the minute the way we had is you open up the fader on the mixer, a little micro switch untriggered broke the circuit, the relay flips open, the slip mat catches, and within like 1.5 seconds, it's up to speed. You can still hear. In the old days, you can hear some of these recordings where they'd have it the record queued up too tight, and it would go. It would kind of start like, and it would kind of get up to speed.
Yeah.
So we built that. That's how we had the. That's how we did. We didn't have fast starting turntables or anything like that. You know, it took some time for this thing to get up to speed.
Yeah, you got to gin it up. It's like the monitor. It's like the monochrome monitor coming on the, you know, with the green has to fade in, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. A little burn in there. Got to fix absolutely. That. And so then for the, instead of jingle machines we didn't have, we create our own cassette tapes. So we only, you know, let's say we had like a, it was just a 30 second. It really would be only 30 seconds or maybe 3 minutes. And the way you do it is, you'd cut off the leader tape, and you have to open up the cassette to do this. You cut off the leader tape, and then, you know, so...
Oh, that's the little clear, the clear section.
The clear section, right? Yeah, you can't have that. So you could rewind it all the way, and then hit pause and play at the same time. You unpause it, boom, it starts playing right away. Or, and this is the way we did it sometimes if we didn't have enough time or, you know, cassettes were costly, you'd record a couple on them, and then you'd play the cassette, and the minute it started, you hit play, or hit pause, eject it, put a pencil in, turn it back a quarter, and then awesome. Put it in, and then yes. press play and play and pause. Yeah, man. That's how... Late at night, that's right. Decibel Radio. Yeah!
Damn, I can't find a pencil.
Oh, no, we had pencils. We had pencils, pens, anything. Give me something to turn this thing back with.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's how that's we did it. Mm-hmm.
That the people I was trying to explain to my kids the other day about Tamara Gold, my youngest. I was trying to explain to her.
Her name is Tamara Gold.
No, Marigold.
Oh, Marigold. Nice name too.
Thanks. I was trying to explain to her that with an 8-track.
Is your son's name Tulip?
No. with an 8-track, you had to. There was no rewind, yes. So you had to flip to the other side, listen to a little bit of that music until it got back to the place where you had to flip back.
Right. So, exactly. Well, then later we started using 8-tracks in the same way, except we had to jack it so the wheel would come out, and you have to cut a hole in the 8-track. It was a whole procedure.
That's awesome.
Thank God for digital. All that stuff we had to connect in our head to make it all work. These weird little Rube Goldberg systems.
Yeah, thank God for digital, but also something gets lost in that. I mean, I miss it. Mm-hmm. You know, when you made a mixtape for somebody, you would spend
somebody,
all this time.
Somebody, Dave. Seriously, Dave.
When you made a mixtape for your special girl.
Okay, hold on. We're going back in time, remembering. Yeah. The mixtapes.
On your Maxwell Gold.
Your Maxwell Gold.
Maxwell Gold.
TDK, baby.
Okay, when you're TDK. When you make
metal.
You
TDK metal.
Metal. Oh, yeah. It's, you know, it had special sauce.
It sounded like
special
shit.
Iron oxide.
It sounded crappy. I never liked too much high end.
You lovingly created that thing over the course of, you know, a week, because you had to wait for the song to come on the radio.
And the damn DJ, me, will be talking through it. Be talking through the intro.
Mm-hmm. Every now and then, though, you could catch one where they would play that in the rotation, and maybe the DJ had to go to the bathroom, so he'd just fire it up and cheat. Mm-hmm. You know, so you would get the beginning, and then you could, you know, you get that one. That one's clean. So then you could mix your other. You had cassettes. This is the whole process. You spend all this time creating this wonderful mixtape, and then you physically hand it
to her. Yeah,
to your girl, and that was special. She had something in her hands.
Yeah.
That you created, you know. And then, but now, like, what are you going to text her a playlist on Spotify?
Nah, here's a boostergram. Here's a boostergram. Goodbye.
Well, that's Instagram. I'm going to boost you my playlist, baby.
Here we go.
I don't know.
I understand. That's different now. It's different. But the kids, they don't know. They don't know what they're missing. And you know what? We are just two old cranky dudes now.
I remember so much better in my day. In my day, we didn't have Pearl. We didn't have GitHub. We didn't have Python.
We had
we had the Microsoft Access database, and that's what we live with.
You remember CPAN?
Oh yeah,
from Pearl.
Oh yeah,
you install your Pearl modules.
CPAN.
Is CPAN still a thing?
Oh,
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, someone will comment on it, no doubt.
Yeah,
All right. So, well, good. So, since we're able to joke about it, you know, maybe it'll be something. I do have an older iOS thing. I'm real principled. I'm getting very principled in my old age.
Well, just wait till it comes to Android. They said it would be soon.
I'm sure it will.
I'm bullish on it. I mean, I think.
Oh, it's no, cool. I think it's good. And of course, you know what? It's a long road we got to take. So mm-hmm. I just don't, you know, we too had to kind of get over the custodial versus non-custodial issue. And the more you look at it, you know, there's different scenarios and different cases where it just makes a lot of sense. By the way, I'm so convinced LN Bits is something I should be able to use and figure out Keysend and have multiple wallets on my own node. I just haven't figured it all out yet, but there's ways. There's got to be a home kit to this one day soon.
Hmm. Well, you know, I think that ultimately, Twitter is laying the groundwork for people to have the understanding of what this stuff even is, and it puts things into the lexicon, and that's a big deal by itself. You know, because people don't even understand. It's hard to go from not even understanding and not even hearing the word lightning or strike or any of these things. And the fact that they're willing to do this when they actually own Cash App and all this kind of stuff, I mean, that's a big deal. To me, it overall shows me that that Dorsey or somebody within Twitter is a zealot and is really actually thinking about this stuff from an ideological standpoint and not just pure monetary or, you know, not just pure profit, because otherwise they would just say Cash App, forget it. I mean, there's really no reason they had to do this.
I think this is just knowing a little bit about Silicon Valley. This is training wheels for the users, for them as well. Let's figure it out. We don't have a lot to lose. You know, it's not a huge risk. We're not going to make big promises.
Did they buy Strike? Do you think they'll buy Strike?
No.
You don't?
No. No, Visa has their claws in them.
No. Oh, you think that's the play?
Oh, Strike is destined for things much. This is going to, you want to talk about a custodial? Strike will be the mother load of custodial. And it'll be very important. It'll be a very important stepping stone. But it's Visa. I mean, they put a lot in.
See, I have no problem with the custodial stuff.
No, me neither.
And I don't mean that. I got to explain what I mean. And I think it's the same thing that you think, is that the custodial is not a problem as long as you can get your stuff out quick.
Correct.
I mean, because if it hits your Strike account, and you can immediately offload that money into your own wallet or node, what does it matter?
No.
I mean, I don't see that it matters one bit. Because it solves Twitter's problem. Twitter's problem is they need liquidity because they really need those payments to be successful. Because if the payments fail, it's a disaster.
Oh, and they're still going to fail on the sending side. There's going to be all kinds of liquidity issues there, too.
Yeah, right.
So,
right. Yeah. Okay, well, we beat that horse.
Yes, we did. Did I read something about Stitcher polling 8 million times somewhere?
Yeah, this is like the weekly head scratcher where I wonder what the hell everybody's waiting on to start monitoring Podping. I just don't get it. I mean, they're like hammering Buzzsprout like, you know, 50 times a minute.
Does Buzzsprout reach out to them and say, "Hey, have they done that?"
Yeah, I mean, Tom said he's been talking to him and telling him, you know, "Hey, use Podping."
Maybe Tom and me and you and Eric just get on a plane and just go talk to those guys. You know what I mean? When we show up, you know, you got Eric with us. It's gonna be like,
he's a big guy.
We look pretty, well, especially if he has his long leather coat on behind us. Yeah, you know, little bulgy here and there.
Yeah.
Badass.
And he just doesn't say anything the whole time.
Oh.
The stare.
You need some glasses. Perfect. Shades.
I think
gosh, it's such so simple to solve this. It's crazy.
Alex Gates has really delivered a lot on the Hive Rider stuff this past couple of weeks. And I've been stuck in database export land for literally like 2 weeks now.
Yeah, I know what you're working on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just something for, you know, for a company that asked for some stuff from us. And it's been a real challenge. It's been eating up a ton of my time. I'm almost finished, and I can't wait to be finished with this.
Gee, I hope it can be used for other stuff. Hope it can be used for other people as well, because it's you put a lot of work into that.
I do think it can. Yeah, I think it'll be something that that will be useful. It sounds a little dumb to export things to export a database as JSON, but I know what they're trying to do, and it's not dumb. It makes sense. And it also is kind of cool from a time series import standpoint. But anyway, I think it's cool. And as soon as I finish that, though, there's a lot of stuff that's been backing up. And
wait a minute. Did you say you're exporting the thing as JSON? Oh, my God. Someone just got excited.
Daniel J. Lewis.
Daniel J. Lewis.
So as soon as that's done, I'm going to go and...
We're going to do it live. I'm sorry. This doing something else?
No, yeah, I could do something other than live. I'm going to go put the new Hive Rider Docker stuff onto all the PodPing nodes. And I've been promised that it's seamless, and I believe it. That guy's an awesome programmer.
I look at code, you know, regularly just to see, you know, if I understand what's going on, or little pieces, I would say. I'm afraid to look at his, because I think it's probably like Medusa, where you're turned to stone if you look at his, if you look at Alex Gates' code, like you could never look at code again. It's like
I don't mind looking at his code. I just don't want him looking at my code. That's when you get ripped a new one.
There was something that came up, and I've been meaning to mention this because I know that this has been a podcastindex.social topic for a while. It goes away and it comes back. And and I was listening to Podland and Sam Sethi. Now, this is one of his things, but I think James has also been talking about this issue, certainly on the Mastodon, what I can recall. And I just want to make a suggestion here.
But anyway, you're listening to Adam and Dave.
Yeah, Adam and Dave.
Podcasting 2.0.
By the way, great show about Bitcoin and busting some myths about the energy levels. But the other bit that they talked about, that Dave talked about, was how phase three of the podcast index namespace is now closed and phase four is now open. I thought, oh, what's in phase four? But I also wanted to look back at what was in phase three that had closed. And one of those was the podcast license tag had been closed. And I asked you a question in the middle of the week, actually, about it, because we were talking last week about user-generated content, where maybe I could clip up something from Podland or someone else's podcast, and would I have the rights to do it? Do we, as Podland, issue a Creative Commons license anywhere to allow anyone to clip us up?
So, what's your favorite topic?
No, I hate this topic, but I do know a lot about it. I do know a lot. I know a lot about Creative Commons. I took the first Creative Commons case to court, and was successful. And I like it. I like Creative Commons, but I can understand where it doesn't necessarily fulfill the types of things that, because, you know, they go on for a little bit and they talk about the types of licenses. Well, as you mentioned on the previous episode, I have podcastlicense.com. So why don't we, and I've done these before. I created at one point the PodSafe music license. Shit, it may even still be around, actually.
If it's a full text license, I mean, it's the real deal.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, let me see if I can find it. PodSafe music license. Now, this was back in the day when we had Podcast Alley, Podcast Music, PodSafe Music.
PodSafe music website that you could get.
That was Podcast Alley, and I can't remember.
I'm looking at Wikipedia right now. PodSafe is a term created in the podcasting community to refer to any work which, through its licensing, specifically allows the use of the work in podcasting.
Mm-hmm. So the way the license worked was, I play your song, I would have to report to you that I played your song, but I wouldn't have to pay anything. And that was it. you know, and I could report by just put, I could also put a link on my page. You know, it was obviously a value for value honor type system, but there were a lot of interesting people who showed up. They showed up with the masters they had purchased back. I mean, there was some like Davy Jones, like Monkeys guy, you know, so he put some stuff on. There was, different people who owned stuff from before 72. And then Carmen Tyler, who still is around.
Why does 72 matter?
Long story. But before 1972, the rules were different. So artists who had songs before 72 really got screwed. They got no royalties, and they've been fighting for back royalties for years. One of the final big agreements took place a few years ago, where Sirius XM had to pay this huge lump sum. But you had a lot of the Stones' early stuff. They really didn't get many royalties over it.
Oh, I wonder if that's the same stuff that happened to like Boston and some of those guys.
Sure, anything like, before 72, yeah. 72, or okay. Maybe even 74. I can't remember now. Anyway, what was my point?
Pod safe
music. And so we wrote it up, and we also allowed people to, we had a repository so you could upload there, and you know, we had templates, and it was a pretty cool thing. The guy we bought a company, which was Podcast Alley, Chris from Nashville. I don't know exactly how Podcast Alley folded in, but then he really started running Podsafe Music. My point is, we can do a license that has all of these permutations. It's really not that hard. It's kind of fun, actually, to come up with all the different angles, and then we can just publish it. We have a domain name. I'm happy to put that into the pot. Let's use that. We could do subdomains if you want to get fancy with the licensing or some kind of authentication. And maybe authentication of stuff goes through a node ID, could be an authenticator. You know, this would fold into value block splits. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you can do here.
That's cool.
And I think it would be a very interesting exercise for me to watch someone else do.
the key to the whole thing, right there.
I would gladly contribute my historical experience and whatever I've learned along the way. So if Sam or James or both, if someone wants to kickstart it, I'll support that work. Definitely. It's a good idea. If people will need something like this down the road somehow, and whether it says, hey, you can play my song as long as you put my value block in your podcast, or you can use a clip of my podcast in your podcast, but slip me into an episode, an item level value block. This is the shit we got to be thinking of, man. You know, not like, I don't want you touching my stuff. No. Yeah, take my stuff, pay me, put me in your value block. Block me.
The
value block me, baby.
The value. the I don't want you to use my stuff thing. That has never made any sense to me. When people use your stuff, that's marketing.
That was me doing Lars from Metallica.
That sounded just like Lars. That sounded just like Lars.
That's my Lars voice.
That was Napster Lars all the way. So this, no, I think this is cool. And I think Sam specifically is into this because he runs a radio station.
And he drinks wine, apparently. He doesn't drink beer. He drinks wine. So
that was the most disappointing thing about that entire show.
I got to say, I'm a wine guy. I'm a wine drinker. Yeah, I drink a glass of wine every night.
A rosé?
No. Well, we live in Texas Hill Country now. So now Tina has instituted
Muscadine wine.
She has instituted Winery Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
And so to write this whole scam off, I do a report on the No Agenda show where I talk about the wine, and John, of course, tells me it's shit. Shit, and I paid too much for it. So that's the gag.
Yeah, wine Wednesday, right before Taco, right after Taco Tuesday.
That's right. That's right.
No, in Alabama we have Muscadine wine and Scuppernong wine. Those are and they taste like garbage. They're horrible.
I like the wines out here. It's good. Anyway, so yeah, so that's just a thought, and I think that would be a very, very good project to have, because we're going to need something like that. But we have to, I guess my point is, we got to be thinking more about how does it work? How does it all work so we all can share in it? And, mm-hmm. you know, I can see, so I can see future stuff where that's even automated. Like, oh, I took a clip from this, boom, you know, one point in the value block.
Yeah, whatever.
It's kind of relevant because I spent way too much time trying to find a little backing thing for one of the ISOs that I for today that John Chigi sent, and I just wanted to juice it up a little bit, and I had to. I mean, God, it took forever to find something that was royalty, you know, that gave me the license I needed. And it was just one little like boom, you know. It's let's see, it's ISO Boostergram Jazzy.
Boostergram.
Nice. So,
Boostergram.
Right.
But like it took forever just to find that one little piano thing that I could use. Without a license.
Well, let me give you an example. So our opener, this. Oh, how come it's not playing? That's odd. No. Oh, wait. That's really weird. Huh.
What?
No, the opener. The opener tech won't failure? Play. It's a massive tech failure. Hold on a second. Let me see what's going on. Why is that not play?
Oh, man. Okay. Here we go. Bad.
There you go. That one. So I purchased that. I bought that, you know, one-time purchase, use forever. Right. It would have made so much more sense for me to say to the person who made it, here, you're in the value block. In perpetuity, in perpetuity, for as long as we use your stuff.
And that's why I brought this up, because if you go searching for things like...
I'm sorry, just before I forget to say it, we need some kind of MP3 ID tag identifier that says, this is the value block, or this is the node ID for payments, payments to this asset. I'm sorry, keep going.
That's a good idea. If you go looking for things like, PodSafe, music, mm-hmm. jazz hit, or something like that.
Yeah, you're trying to find a loop. Most of it sucks balls.
Well, but the way they do it, the way a lot of them do is they put them into YouTube videos. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure.
And so they'll have a YouTube video full of all these, you know, things.
Right. Yeah, you got to rip it from all the these YouTube. Loops.
Yeah, and then it'll say, and so what I'm thinking is, why not a podcast that just has these hits, these loops as episodes, and then a value block in it.
Great mechanism. Tie that into the licensing system that James and Sam just created.
Yeah.
We're good to go. Bob's your uncle.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay. I think Sam could run with this because he needs it anyway for his radio station.
He's going to need to do something after he goes broke from running the radio station.
Yeah. That's top-notch radio. Top-notch radio.
Sports radio. It's,
that's what's disappointing about him drinking wine. I feel like he should be drinking this big manly beer with this, you know, like a stout, like an oatmeal stout. You know, something you can like a fork would like stand up in.
No, man, he probably hangs out with the wags.
What's a wag?
Oh boy, I'll get busted for this. This is just only because I live there. Do I know this? It's an acronym for wives and girlfriends. The footballers' wives and girlfriends.
That's a low blow.
It was very low. It just slipped out. I didn't mean any of it, Sam.
I thought that speaking of Boostergrams, do we want to go ahead and thank some people and then do a little bit more? I got a little bit more on namespace stuff.
Here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
I'm all about thanking everybody for the value for value. The whole project, if you don't know it by now, you should look it up. Actually, go to valueforvalue.io. There's some of it there, some links as well. The only thing that we need is to keep this whole project going is everyone to participate. Everyone has to do something. Time, talent, treasure. Take your pick, two or three. Three out of three is also good. So we can keep this free, open, and open in the sense of not just open source, but open for everybody to participate in. with no hidden agendas. And the only way we can do it is what's been working for us now, but we do need your support. And people are kind enough to do that through our cuckbuck system over at podcastindex.org. At the bottom, there's a red donate button. PayPal is most favorable there. But of course, we appreciate people who are slowly converting to the Boostergrams and starting to send their appreciation and their value back to us in real time. And do we still want to start reading them, or do we want to do the PayPals, or what have we decided on this?
Let's do the PayPal first.
Good.
Because it's a big one. Marco Arment coming in with $500 again.
Thank you, Marco. Every month. That is, I mean, that's sustaining. Can we do anything for him? I feel like, you know, he doesn't want a t-shirt. Can we, can we send him some H&B?
H&B? Oh, Hookers and Blowjobs. I don't know.
I just want to do right. I mean, it's so appreciated. And I know that the index is valuable to him. But, you know, he's just kind of, he's out there. He's always been a little bit apart from the group, I guess.
Yeah, I think he likes to do his own thing.
But he's signaling his value and is highly, highly appreciated.
Yeah, very much appreciated. And one of the things he's doing is syncing. He constantly syncs with us. And so we get, I'll just do a little aside here because we haven't had 25 of those already this show, but we sync, we get feeds. I get asked this a lot. I actually had a call, with, the guys from Samsung podcast, last week before last, and, just help, you know, talking about namespace stuff and that kind of thing and Podping. And, they asked, and everybody always asks is, where do you get the feeds from? I mean, you got a bazillion feeds. Where do you get them from? And I always go through the list. The Swedish Trickler. Christopher Isine. Next, we get them from Pod News. Anybody searches for a feed on Pod News, James auto submits to us.
Cool.
We get them from directly from host submissions. Some hosts auto submit, and some hosts just have us on their dashboard so the podcaster can submit directly from there. One click. We get them from Podping, new feed discoveries on Podping. And then we get them from direct submissions through the API. Now, and another way that we get them is Marco syncs his database with ours
constantly. So he gets all anything new on iTunes, that kind of stuff he must have, right?
It's sort of a mutual thing. And so he looks up to see if we have an iTunes ID or a feed URL to do a reverse lookup. And so he sees if he finds something, if he finds a feed URL that he doesn't know the iTunes ID for, he'll do a reverse lookup on us.
See if we have it.
See if we have it. And if we do have it, he'll put it in his. If we don't have it, he'll give it to us.
Cool.
If he has it. Mm-hmm. So it's always, it's just a constant. It's like, I mean, you know, a couple thousand times a day, these things are doing. So that's how he's supporting us and getting value back from us is using us as a resolver and then submitting. So anyway, that's
outstanding. Okay.
Thank you, Marco.
That was a pretty good overview of how we get feeds. I don't think you've ever explained that, or we've never put it all in one sentence. It's cool.
Yeah. And it's important to have lots of different feed sources.
Inputs, yeah.
Because we don't, you know, most directories will just go out there and pull and scrape Apple, and we don't scrape Apple at all.
No,
that's not what we do. Let's see. I'll save that. Let's see. I'll save that because that's a note that goes along with them. That was the only PayPal single donation we had.
Whoa, sad puppy.
No.
We're not sad puppy. Okay.
We had monthly donors.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. Well, the monthly donors. Yes.
Yeah. But we also had a really big Boostergram. I got to dig
a baller boost.
Oh, it's like mega baller boost.
Really? Oh, I think I've got a, I can, I don't think, let me see. I wonder if, I hope Mo won't mind if I steal this from him.
Oh, you digging this?
This is just so good.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
I only use it once, okay? That's our big baller thing at MoFax. But okay. Since you played it up, who's our big baller boostergram from?
It's Dreb Scott. and trying to find it. Did for some reason it did not come through the email, and I still have not found out why. But it did come through. But it did go into the database.
I don't think I saw this one because I didn't see something from Dreb on the email.
Yeah, you did. That's what I'm saying. It didn't come through the email, and he sent me a message saying, "Hey, you know, I sent you a big boost." Oh my gosh, I can't find it. Now I'm going to feel like a turd. I found it. Dreb Scott sent us a boostergram of 216,482 sats.
Wow.
And he says,
wait, give me the stats. What app did it come from?
Okay, this came through CurioCaster.
Uh-huh. Did it, what was the timestamp?
It's got a boost link in there. Where's
Shoot that link to me.
The timestamp is just one. So it's sitting on the episode.
Okay.
Yeah. And he says the message is three jingles. Sat Streamer from Fun Fact Friday.
Okay.
That one should be in your
Yes, thing. I've noticed it, yes.
Boost.
Well, which boost?
I guess it's Dealer's Choice. No. He likes the Kyle Hebert Boost. He likes the big one.
Oh, he likes
Boost.
Yeah, he likes the big boost. The big booster.
And then go podcasting.
Oh.
And he says, at the time of this boost of 220,900 sats should equal $100.33.
Thanks
for all you guys are doing. Go podcasting.
Thank you so much, Dre.
Sat Streamer.
Boost! Go podcasting! Sat Streamer. I'm a Sat Streamer.
Sat Streamer.
Dreamweaver. Gonna splash my sats all over you.
Let's see. So we've got... I was worried when he sent me that email. I was like, oh my gosh,
maybe
we didn't have a channel big enough and something happened. But then I went through the DB and I found it, but it didn't come through email and I still can't figure out why.
Well, Dreb, thank you so much. And enjoy the fiver that splashed back on you through the value block.
Yeah.
That's cool. It gets right back.
I love that he did this. I mean, obviously it's extremely generous, but I love that he did this because he's like, I'm just going to push the limits and see how many sats I can push through this thing.
That's exactly what he's doing. That's exactly what he's doing. And I will say to Stephen B, I think Dreb is also ready to push the limit on the chapters editor in the Curio Jenny.
The Curio Jenny.
I'm tightening that up. Yeah. I'm tightening it up.
I mean, 120,000. I want everybody to realize what just happened. $100
was boosted.
$100. That's significant.
Okay. I know. I'm smiling from ear to ear.
And it didn't crash.
I'd love to know the routing on that.
I've got it all.
Oh, actually, I think I saw is because it went from Ellen Pay, right? Probably, yeah.
From CurioCaster, yeah.
Yeah,
Ellen Pay. Did you see it affect the channel?
Oh, yeah.
It abacused that thing all the way from left to right, didn't it?
Quite a bit, yeah. I actually have a little backup channel just in case we need to send a message of help. But yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we got 5 million sats, I think, with Ellen Pay right now.
With Tim?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Dreb. Thanks, man. Yeah. That's fantastic. And everyone else down the line, I guess. Now, he didn't send that amount to everybody. Is that now being split up in CurioCaster? Or does everyone get the amount?
No, I think he just sent it to us.
Okay. Yeah. All right, good. All right.
Let's see. Franco Solario says he sent us 1,881 sats, and he said, don't strip my license yet. Confetti will come to Castomatic or some other sort of geeky crypto jizz.
Crypto jizz. All right. Okay. Nice.
Thank you, Franco. And yes, he followed up on that and he did put confetti into Castomatic.
You sure did. Thank you. Good to have you here, man. It's good to have you as a part of the gang.
Yeah. So seven. Let's see. I think I'm done with that sheet. Let's see. Mere Mortals, that must be Kyron, it came through Fountain app. He says, I love the Boostergram Corner intro for Podland. I'm wondering if you could create one for the Value for Value podcast. Okay, that's his new podcast. The V4V Boostergram Lounge, perhaps. Something more sensual. I'll reward handsomely. So he sent us 2,134 sats. Got a sensual Boostergram Lounge in there somewhere?
Yeah, I'm thinking, let me see what I can do here.
The Boostergram Lounge. That feels very velvety.
Let me see what I have. What is this? Nope, that's not going to work.
That's very Indiana Jones-ish.
Apple Music.
Nope, that's not even something. How about this?
The Value for Value Boostergram Corner.
No, it's the Boostergram Lounge.
Oh, Boostergram Lounge. Well, that's not going to work. Boostergram Lounge. Hold on.
I didn't know where you were going with that one.
I'm just adapting, you know? What is this? Welcome to the Value for Value Boostergram Lounge. Have a hookah! or... Hello! It's totally insane! It's the Value for Value Boostergram Lounge! Have fun!
What the hell are you doing? That was Freddy the Firewall.
It's right. That's pretty close to it. That was Freddy. Yeah. That was pretty much close to Freddy. Yeah. Well, how about I'll just do the voiceover and they can add their own music. Okay. Welcome to the Value for Value Boostergram Lounge.
Beautiful.
Come on in. Let me try one more. Yeah. Come on in. You're all welcome in the Value for Value Boostergram Lounge.
Oh, that was good. That
right?
Was
a little different. A little different. Yeah, little top hat types action there. Okay.
Top hat. Yeah, I like it. All right. Thank you, Karen.
Yes, thank you.
Man, Freddy the Firewall doing booster grin. Let's see. Bill Prague sent us 500 sats, and he said, well, Hive donations with comments, memos would go through in 3 to 5 seconds.
Did he get that? Did he receive one?
I don't know. I'm guessing. He said this is a timestamp thing. So we must have said something at this timestamp that he.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's responding to us and saying that Hive donations would go through in 3 to 5 seconds rather than 15 minutes like our delayed boosts do. So this is a guy. This is Bill shaming us for being on Lightning. This is a Hive guy.
Okay.
And he's saying your Lightning sucks and Hive is great.
Hey, I have Hive power, man. I'm reliably informed. Hey, it works though. I mean, it works, correct? You can have a Hive a feed and a podcast or video and then you get boostergrams and the message goes through as well to them does it get translated through to the Hive receiver?
Mhm. All that. We've got Brian coming on the show. In a couple
why
of weeks,
is he so why is he so mad, bro?
Thank you, Bill. No, he can't help it. He's a Hive guy.
He's a hiver. He's a hiver. What happens? A chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, it's the perpetual underdog syndrome.
Thank you, Bill.
He says, Anonymous from Breeze. Send us 1,000 sats and says, starting out with a boost.
Yeah, thank you. We like it a boost.
Another anonymous sent us 1,000 sats and says, 1,000 sats to help with the nurse salary fund.
The nurse salary
fund. I don't need an effing nurse, okay?
Hey, they're going to put an alias in soon, aren't they, in Breeze? Or is everyone always going to be anonymous on Breeze?
Oh, I don't know. I know
it's Max Hillebrand, man. He's a GitHub maven. I see him floating around saying like, hey, he's always posting issues. He's always coming with solutions, little things that are irritating. Max is always there posting about him, trying to get stuff fixed.
He gets stuff done, man.
Yes, he does.
See, 1,000 sats to help with the nurse salary fund. Laugh out loud. Rusty
Thank you.
I'm not sure who Rusty is, but his call sign is WB4BSD.
Oh, 73s, Kilo 5, Alpha Charlie Charlie.
Thank you, Rusty. Sir Pate. Is it Pete?
Sir Pete.
Or Pate?
Sir Pete.
Sir Pete. Okay. Sir Pete, 1,000 sats. And he says, Hail Satoshi!
Boost! All right. Sir Pate.
Bimazi? Okay. I was expecting
Brian Mazi? Right.
Yeah. I was expecting this. 3,333 sats. And mm-hmm. he says, Homeopathy. That was the thing I could not remember the name of.
Yes.
You dilute the little bits of medicine in water, you know?
Yes.
Homeopathy.
Yes.
Yes.
Witch's brew.
Witch's brew, yes. The placebo. Thank you, Brian. Oh, thank you for saying, I remembered the name of it literally like 10 minutes after we stopped recording. Alex, 1,000 sats, and he just says, thanks, Adam and Dave. Now, this is not Alex Gates. This is an Alex, because he spells his name A-L-E-C-K-S, but this Alex spells his name or her name A-L-E-X. So I don't know who this is.
Okay. But it's Alex. That's all we need to know.
It's just Alex.
Alex's sats are as good as anyone else's.
They spin just the same.
And I love stacking sats. If anything, that's, we're going to wake up one day, Dave, in the future. You'll have your Tiny Tim crutch. I'll have a hump. You know, big hump on my back. But we'll have like 500 million sats and it'll be worth something.
Yeah. And that'll be right before
we die.
We die. Yeah. Because it'll take 40 years. Okay. 1,000 sats. Another 1,000 sats from Alex. And he, she says, boost from fountain.fm.
All right. Thank you.
Let's see who we got next. Oh, this is a big message. Wilco sends us 1,241 sats from Castomatic. I like the Castomatic app. I'm digging it. I'm using it at least once a day.
Is he going to do a Android or is that really?
I don't know. I think he's an iOS guy.
Is he not Flutter based?
No. That's native, baby.
Oh, he's native.
Native. He's an iOS native.
Shit. Maybe I can get the keeper to try it out. She's still pretty much loving Pod Friend.
Okay. Yeah, I like Castomatic. I'm digging. I'm starting to use it more. I'm flipping back and forth between them all. Let's see. Wilco says, Boost! You are not only reinventing podcasting, you are also a great example of how modern distributed software engineering could work. How to build community and trade value for value in semi-open source.
Boost.
10 years early, perhaps, but somebody's got to start it.
Did he say that?
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks, bro.
And he says, keep it up. Go podcasting.
Indeedy.
Go podcasting!
Okay. I already know the answer to this, and the answer is no. But he says, P.S., Adam, is there a Boostergram amount that would make you do another daily source code?
No, there's not. There's not. The whole problem with the daily source code is I like playing music in there as well. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be made an example of. But maybe, you know, maybe there's, I don't know, we'll see. Let's get the music stuff running. Mm-hmm. You know, let's get our podcast license, our PodSafe music license back, you know, there's or something like it. The podcast license, it should encompass all. Here's how music is licensed under the podcast license.
The way you get daily source code back is by changing the world. And once the world has changed it's safe to do it,
I'll be there.
Wilco, again, sent it from Castomatic, says, Dave, you're a magician. We heard it from the Namibian. Adam, episode 54. Come on, Dave, you can do it.
That's right. Is it done yet?
Okay. C Mike. Oh, we all know C Mike.
You sure do.
5,000 sats. He says, I'm not sure what he's talking about. He says, he's not a vet. He's a doctor. And I've got my crackers. I need my paste. Oh, that must be stuff we said on the show where you said, okay, he's not a vet. He's a doctor. And I've got my crackers. I need my paste. Had me rolling. Viva la boost.
Yes. Viva la boost, baby.
And now, as the French say, it is time for Le Boost.
A shout out to Benjamin, who just did the Amsterdam podcast fest.
Can we do... We need titles.
Titles?
But, yeah, for people. Because, I mean, like...
Like knight and dame titles?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, we need a scale. We need a scale.
We need a scale. Or staff assignments. Or something like that. Like, Ben's out there, I mean, he's like PRing the hell out of us. And he should be like a marketing expert or something. Like, Alex Gates should be the official Podcasting 2.0 consultant.
Well, what you're saying is we need nicknames for everybody.
Nicknames or
titles. We already have those privately, Dave. Do you want to discuss them all?
No.
Everyone's got nicknames. Now, I think there's a good idea to have, you mean levels for donations or just...
Yeah, but that sounds like a lot of work, though.
I just like what someone's handle, like Dreb Scott, you know, it's like, I don't know if this is his real name. Who calls a kid Dreb? It's like one letter away from Dreg. It's like, no. Yeah. But maybe it is. I don't know. That's fine. I see Christopher Isin as Isin. That's his handle. But I like Swedish Trickler better. No, all of this stuff. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We know everybody's name. If not, you know, put it in your Boostergram.
That's right.
So we can address you properly.
C. Mike says, P.S., editing a Boostergram on Fountain is a pain. Mm-hmm. Flutter not equal iOS. That's what we just talked about.
Okay.
I do think that the text box and the font on Fountain needs to be a little bit bigger. The touch points are a little hard to hit. So I would agree with that a little bit. Here we go. Auburn Citadel. he just says, from the Auburn Citadel. Thanks, guys. 10,000 sats.
Boom. Thank you.
Thank you, Auburn
Beautiful.
Citadel.
Beautiful.
Let's see. That's all the Boostergrams. We got some monthly donors here. You know what we could do? I got too much already. Somebody should do a show where that's just nothing but reading Boostergrams. The whole show is reading Boostergrams.
No. I can tell you exactly what we need to do because this is an old radio trick. We just need a full-time stream with a computer voice that just reads Boostergrams all day.
How is that a radio trick?
Oh, my God. How many times we've done this with text messages? And I've done this a million times. So your page, your Boostergram live page, you just hook that up to a speech generator and then live stream it. And just put music under it. And it's really weird. You can change voices. And like, Alex says, boost me, baby. You know, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. I like it.
No, I like it's it. Not that great an idea.
Nah. It's a, okay, well, we could do, we could call it friendoftheshow.com.
Oh, God, no. I've decided that is, you're not a friend of the show. You're a pod pal.
Pod pal. It's just going from bad to worse.
And I'll tip you.
Monthly donors, Jeremy Gerds, $5. Thomas Sullivan Jr., $5. I just love that name, Thomas Sullivan Jr. It's just a great name.
It's like the guy who does our lawn is Eric Shane Washington.
Oh, that's a good name, too. Mm-hmm. But if you ever say three full names, though, you're a domestic terrorist.
And he's prone for a shooting somewhere, definitely.
Does he have a manifesto?
He was a quiet man.
He was. He's going to be living in the hills of North Carolina for 12 years. All right. Tim Hudgens, my buddy, $25. I just saw him tonight. David Woodfine, $3. Enigma Labs, $20.
Oh, this is great.
Sarvagya Vash, I think that's Survive on the podcast index.socials, $5. Keith Gibson, $50. Thank you, Keith. Keith, surely it's t-shirt territory right by now, right?
Yeah, we got another shipment going out, right?
Yeah, if anybody's... waiting on a t-shirt. Eric said that he'll be shipping them out soon, but he's got to order some more t-shirts. We ran out. So that's the holdup. Paul
Erskine. Can I just thank Eric personally for doing the tax shit again?
Yeah.
100%. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
And for preparing us for whatever shit is coming our way.
Yeah, I don't think people really understand that. There's a lot of, you know, a whole lot of threatening crypto stuff that would make us...
It would make life suck. So what Eric has been evaluating is how much suck can we take off of everybody's plate?
Yep.
That's pretty much it. So if the suck means there's all kinds of paperwork that has to be generated or reports, I should say, for anyone's income tax or anything, you know, we want to be able to help with that because we want to be here for the long haul. And they're going to make it tough.
And that's one of the reasons why it's going slow with us running our own LNP node is because one of the aspects of this, not just the building of the tag, but one of the aspects of this is Eric is doing all the research to make sure that when we do it, that everybody's, you know, up on the up and up and we get reporting that we need and all that kind of jazz.
So yeah, that's the main thing is the reporting so that
Eric does a lot of stuff that people just don't see or understand.
No, understand for sure. Holy shit.
Understand for sure. Yeah, I don't even understand it. Okay, Paul Erskine, $11.14. And I was wondering about what that donation amount was, what the numerology was.
Uh-huh.
And he sent in a note. He said, "Hey, Dave, just got to episode 51 where my monthly donation popped up. Still a few episodes behind, and you two wondered about my donation number. Since you like to boost Leet, thought I'll pay homage to that for a year. So 133.70 divided by 12 gets to $11.14 a month."
Oh.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Cool way to do it.
Keep up the good work. One of these days, I'm going to get some free time and figure out crypto, and then maybe I'll switch from cuckbucks to sats. Also, I searched for cuckbucks to see if I was spelling it right. I don't know why I did either. And found cuckbucks.com.
Oh, and?
I'm a little afraid. I don't know. I'm a little worried. I'm going to let you do that from your computer.
I'll do it. I don't give a shit. I've got a pie hole. No, it's cryptocurrency for leftists.
For leftists?
Yes. Here.
What?
Fine. Here, one cuck.
Is it safe?
Yeah, one cuck is $797,909,000. Finally, a secure digital currency for globalist cucks. Oh, that's funny.
Wow. Okay. I like it.
That's like the modern day Goatsy.
Just complete troll.
Yeah.
Let's see. Unlike Bitcoin, which has changed price by 3,000 since you started reading this sentence, cuckbucks are designed to be perfectly stable. How? The value of one cuckbuck is tethered to exactly $1 billion. That's awesome.
And it's down.
Yes, down. Yeah, it is down. Nice. Okay. Dwayne Goldie gave us $8. Great name. Michael Goggin gave us $5. Charles Current, $5. Christopher Reamer, $10. James Sullivan, no relation to Thomas Sullivan Jr., $10. Sean McCune gave us $20. And Jordan Dunville, another good name, $10. That's it. That's our group.
Great group. Thank you all so much for completing the loop on the value for value, and see how much fun it is with the boostograms, with the notes and the numerology. And it turns into content. This is the dirty little secret that no one really wants to talk about. People want to skip through the ads. They like listening to the boostogram corner or the boostogram lounge or the donation segment because it's interesting. People have interesting things to say, and they're also experts in their area, and it's a great feedback into the show. Because we don't know what we're talking about.
This is a really hilarious website, by the way. Cuckbucks.com.
It's very funny, isn't it? Yeah.
This bulletproof system makes Cuckbucks the most stable way to destroy your life trying to acquire fake internet money. Okay. All right, I'm not reading that.
I have to look at the mining, though.
I'm not getting into that. What else?
That is a funny website. What else I have? Well, you're now, I guess, officially the Pod Sage. Since you're boosting as such.
Yes. All right. Yes, I am. Yep. Do I have your blessing?
Well, apparently it's because you're so calm and collected. I'm like, ladies, you don't live with him, okay? But okay.
You don't see my tantrums.
I think you're well deserving of the moniker. If someone else has given it to you, take it.
Well,
I did want to mention, I guess the Ambies are coming up.
Oh, your favorite time of year.
Yes, it is. It is Ambies season again.
I'm waiting for the Ambies rant.
And who? Yeah, here it is. It'll be short. I just have to see the Ambies Awards for Excellence in Audio. This is put on by, is this the Podcast Academy? Who does this?
It's got to be. It's got to be.
Let's see. Well, I think it's the Podcast Academy.
Well, it's not. Yes. Todd.
Yeah. It's the Podcast Academy board members group.
That's already. I thought that just happened.
Well, I think it's the new submissions. Probably the new time to submit. And it's like there's a new category this year. We're all very excited about the new category. The category is Best Indie Podcast, which is one of the most insulting things I've ever heard.
Well, aren't they all supposed to be indie podcasts?
Thank you. Indie, you just insulted the whole podcast vibe. That's the point. It should be the It should be the opposite. It should be Best M5M Cuckbucks Podcast.
Yes.
Give them the little category, the little off to the side. Encouragement, M5M, you'll get there one day.
Well, this is why the show, did you see, look at the show sponsors?
Let me guess. Spotify, Amazon.
Well, Amazon's in there, yeah. I mean, this is some of the typical ones.
PRX.
But get a load of this. Adobe. Why is Adobe?
Well, they're only sponsoring the pre-show.
Okay. They're sponsoring the green room.
Gee, I hope they have that one static camera shot again this year. Yippee-ki-yay.
Yeah. Oh, I guess maybe Adobe's trying to sell audio.
Here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. You're the gold sponsor, Amazon. Amazon owns Wondery. Wondery is, don't they?
They own Wondery.
So silver sponsors are Wondery, Tenderfoot, and PRX. So these are all the people who win.
Yeah.
That's how it works. I'm not saying anyone's corrupt or anything. It's just the indie thing just bugs me. It's like tipping. Like, don't devalue shit. Don't devalue it.
Well, I'm not. I mean,
it's okay. Yeah, the Ambies are an indie award, so who cares?
I don't think I want to get into this yet because I've got this idea that I've written out here for how to do paywall stuff. But okay. I think it needs a while. I think it needs. I mean, not. I mean, it's
because you're looking for more. You're looking for more things to do.
No. It keeps coming up, and I want to flesh out this idea because I think it's a good idea, and it's a complete idea. But I don't. I mean, it needs about 30 minutes to explain, and I don't think we have enough time for that. What I would rather do if you've got time, is just go through a few of these tags.
Yeah, for sure. Do I have time? Are you kidding me? It's the board meeting.
We're
running 1:49, so we're going to be long. But hey, I mean, we didn't have a full show last week. We need to update. We had important things to discuss, like your marriage.
Yeah.
We took a break for some jingles.
Debilitating diseases,
yeah, that kind of stuff.
All those things. Okay, so Medium is we already know about Medium. We already know about Live Item. The two we haven't really talked about is we've talked a little bit about recommendations.
Right.
This is the one I wanted to look at. Gateway.
Gateway.
Do you know about?
No, I don't know. Recommendations. I'm familiar with. Have opinions. Yeah. Gateway. I don't think so.
Okay, so this is the idea of gateway episodes.
Oh, right.
Okay, and this, here, I'm just gonna read. It's been so long.
Who wrote this up?
Mark. I don't remember his last name. Oh, Stedman. Mark Stedman. It's been over almost a year since I've read verbatim a podcast namespace tag.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems appropriate. This tag, when present in an item, indicates that this episode is a so-called gateway episode. Gateway episodes are episodes that the podcaster, or maybe crowdsourced, think represent the best entry point into a long-running show. If a podcast has 300 episodes, it might be a good idea to designate one or more older episodes as the best place to start.
Right. I remember now.
Yep. Yeah. And so it's the tag is like a gateway in it. And it's got one attribute, which is order. So if you have like multiple gateway episodes, you could say the best way to get into this show is to listen to this episode first, then this one, then pick up with current.
Or it could be the one episode. It has to be a full episode. It only points to an episode. What can it point to? What is the value for this tag?
Well, that is the value, is that it points to the whole episode versus something like a soundbite.
Got it. But it can be an episode like that, from a different podcast.
Well, okay. So I don't know. And then that could be, because here's the way that it lays out. You just have an item, a standard podcast item, and then the podcast gateway tag is in the item.
Ah, I see. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
I got it. That's a perfect way to do it. Okay, so it's going to be from your own. Yeah, I mean, we would for the No Agenda show would be episode 200.1 or no, 200.1 or 0.5, I think, or 100.5, 200.5, 300.5. We did it three times.
Right. And so you would have to, in order to do this way.
Of course, I don't have those in my feed anymore, but that's a different problem.
What I was about to say, you'd have to put them in your feed.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to put those back in your feed with the gateway tag in it, and they would just have to be sort of be sticky there and never go away.
Yeah,
which is okay. I mean, that's not bad though, is it? I mean, that's
actually an interesting point with the curio Jenny. I can't limit my feed. I usually have it limited to 10 items, and now it's just going to go on forever. I have no way to paginate to do anything. I'm sure Stephen B will figure something out, but I'm just mentioning it.
Pagination. So
yeah,
Dreb Scott sent me an email just a few minutes ago and said, remind Adam to talk about RSS pagination tonight.
It just popped. Just there you go. This just came right out of my, God gave it to me.
God gave it to Dreb, and Dreb gave it to you.
Passed it off. Yes. Okay.
Well, so what is he, I mean, is he talking about this thing with CurioCaster?
He's Dreb is a fantastic man. He wants to go back and do chapters, and would also love to see transcripts, which is doable. Actually, he wants to do all as much No Agenda as he can. He wants to do
1300
podcasting 2.0. He wants to do MoFax. Ooh. He wants to do MoFax really bad, and there's a lot of value to that.
That one's doable. I mean, No Agenda seems like a Mount Everest to climb.
Well, it really came up in the context of MoFax, I think. But he said, if we do back episodes, he was just thinking ahead. He's like, well, I know that you only do 10. You keep 10 in the feed for No Agenda. And what do you, I mean, right now I have all of MoFax's in there, but it's just growing and growing. These feeds are getting pretty big. So something has to happen somewhere along the line. And with No Agenda, it was just costing too much actual money back in the day to be pushing out 1,000 episode feed with some show notes stuff in there. Just, it got wieldy. We were going broke on the feed. We were feed broke.
But what's going to happen now? I mean, is it doable now, or is it still?
It's much different now the way you set us up with the Cloudflare and all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
No, so that's not a problem. It's doable
now.
But in general, we need, I mean, it's just handier if there's a way to, fold 1,000 episodes,
But, it's doable, yes, but you still have this potential apocalyptic thing that would happen if you had 1,000 episodes and somehow they all got new GUIs. I mean,
oh.
That would be... That would would be a disaster.
Blood on the moon, baby. That would be bad. Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, yeah.
Well, okay. Now, so how about this? How about this? So, the feed, the No Agenda feed ends, let's look at the 1370 or something. I'm just making it up. I guess what he's saying is there a way to, you know, like it would almost be like a tag that says, oh, for the next 1,000 episodes, use this URL.
What? Explain that again.
Yeah, I'm not following. Yeah, you know what? I think it's...
No, I see what you mean. I see what you mean. You're talking about, we don't need to do this because there's already a spec for RSS pagination.
Okay.
It's just that so few people use it. Like, I mean, it has been around and Podlove uses it, and there are hosts out there that use the RSS pagination spec. It's just not enough. Not enough people do use it. So, I mean, we could.
I came along with my 1,400 episodes and said, look at me.
You could do it.
Okay. Well, for another time. Okay. Bookmark that. Stick a pin in it. Take it down for the meeting notes. Okay, we'll circle back.
Circle back. God, you're trying to, you're hitting every one of them. Let's see what synergy we can develop from this.
Well, we have the, wait a minute, don't we have the circle back girl?
Circle back girl. I don't know that one.
I'll circle back if there's more I can share with you. I'll Coach circle back with you if there's more to come. I'll have to just circle back with you. We can circle back.
This is a good one. Do ISO shock.
Shock. Shock.
Where's that from?
That's, I keep going shock. To the well.
That's, shock.
That's my Australian broadcast TV.
Oh.
And look, the defense state is a good one, too.
The defense state.
Oh, my goodness. Punchy.
The defense state.
Do you just play this at home?
Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah. That's what I was doing before we started the show.
Just playing Australian TV.
Yeah, I was listening to Chuckademus and Pliers and a little bit of Australian TV.
I've heard them, actually. I've heard Chuckademus. And
when James said that on his show, I had no idea what the hell he just said. I was like, something in Pliers? What? Is this English? What is this?
Chuckademus, yeah. Yeah.
It's like a reggae band or something.
Yeah. It's also kind of like a punchline.
Oh, okay. Well, we got anything else? Because
no, I mean, well, okay. So what's,
unless you got anything?
Yeah. Now, are you still really super busy until the October 15th crazy is over?
Mm-hmm.
Over there, in the professional financial services world.
Yeah. Yeah. Tax time is always hard for us. It's really the other stuff that's holding me up so much. The database export stuff. And, once I get past October 15th, everything will be better.
Okay, ma'am. Well, thank you for staying extra late here. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We can all go out. All right. And, have yourself a great weekend, Dave.
Yeah, you too, man. Enjoy your Friday night.
Yes, indeed. I'm about to go get a little bit of grub, throw some chicken on the barbecue here in the Hill Country. We'll talk to you next week, the board meeting for Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Boost a grain.
Boost!
Go podcast!